And then a month passed.
Let me tell it at once.
I have been wrong.
We are always wrong when we think too much of what we think or are.
Though our thoughts be bitter and full of self-sacrifice, we're no less selfish. This I say against myself. I had done my duty in the visit I paid Marion. Why did I not tell Romney of Lady Waldemar's designs? Had I any right, with womanly compassion, reserved to stand aside knowing that she intended to come between them and hear him call her good?
Distrust that word.
There is none good save God. If he once, in the first creation we called creatures good,
forever afterward, only the devil has done it.
A good neighbor is fatal sometimes, cuts your morning into mincemeat of the very smallest talk.
I have known good wives, chaste or nearly so, and good mothers who would use their child to better an intrigue.
Good friends, very good, who hung around your neck and sucked your breath as cats do to sleeping infants.
We have all known good critics who have stamped out a poet's hope.
Good statesmen who pulled ruin on the state.
Good Christians who sat still in easy chairs and damned the general world for standing up.
Now may the good Lord pardon all good men and women.
I should have thought a woman of the world, like Lady Waldemar, center to herself, who has wheeled on her own pivot half a life in isolated self-love and self-will, as a windmill seen at a distance, radiating its delicate white wings against the sky so soft and soundless, simply beautiful. Seen nearer, what a roar and tear it makes, how it grinds and bruises. If she loves, her love's a readjustment of self-love, no more. A need felt of another's use for her own advantage. As a mill wants grain, the fire wants fuel, the wolf wants prey, and none of these is more unscrupulous than a charming woman when she loves. She'll not be thwarted by an obstacle as trifling as her soul. Much less your soul, sir. She loves you with passion to lunacy. She loves you like her diamonds, almost.
Well, a month passed, so.
And the notice came on such and such a day, the marriage.
We were bid to meet at St. James, and after contract at the altar, passed to eat a marriage feast at Hampstead Heath.
Of course people came in uncompelled.
What a sight.
A holiday of misery clogged the streets.
Oozed into the church in a dark, slow stream like blood.
The noble ladies stood up in their pews, some pale with fear.
A few red with hate.
I've waked and slept through many nights and days since then, but to think of that day still would catch my breath like a nightmare.
We waited for the bride. People stirred, impatient.
Romney stood and tried to speak.
He held a letter in his hand.
Silence was in the church.
I heard a baby sucking in its sleep.
Then spoke a man.
Best look to the food, before it all be filched from us, like the other fun.
Then a woman.
I'm a tender soul. I've never beat a child of two and drew blood from him, but I cried the next moment. I tell you, I'm tender. I've no stomach ever for beef until I know about the girl that's lost. That's killed, mayhaps. Disappear? I ask you, would a girl go off instead of staying to be married? A fine tale from a wicked man.
I say he's a wicked man.
I say he's a wicked man.
I say he's a wicked man.
From end to end, the church rocked like the sea in a storm, and then broke like the earth in an earthquake. Men cried out, police were crushed, women swooned, people madly fled or blindly fell. The last sight left me was Romney's terrible, calm face. The last sound.
Pull him down!
Pull him down!
Here's Marion's letter. He sent the letter to me by our friend, Lord Howe.
Noble friend, be patient with me. Never think me vile, who might tomorrow morning be your wife, but that once I loved more than your name. Farewell, my Romney. Let me write at once. My Romney.